This afternoon, Patricia Limerick, a professor of history at the University of Colorado, will deliver a lecture in the 2013 Hartman Hotz Lecture Series. Her talk will put the current public discussion of natural gas development and fracking into a larger historical context of extractive industries in the American West.
Why would a historian get into this whole complicated, very highly charged discussion? On my campus at the University of Colorado, we are, well, I guess it's not unusual, we're a campus where the sciences and engineering are much more visible and much more highly ranked. And I used to mope over that, I guess, and sulk. And then I thought, actually, they're doing stuff that really has historical dimensions, but they're not, they don't seem to notice that. So I ended up with our Center of the American West at the University of Colorado. We do a lot of work with scientists and engineers. And a consortium, a big group of 27 people altogether, put together a proposal of the National Science Foundation, mostly engineering professors and science professors, to look at natural gas and fracking and to do whatever we can to launch a more evidence-based discussion. Our format is to say what we know, what we don't know, and what we hope to learn, which seems to me very refreshing in an atmosphere where there's excesses of certainty that are not actually based on findings. So I am the person doing historical perspective and public communications for this National Science Foundation grant. It's a $12 million grant over 5 years.
This morning, Patricia Limerick came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio in advance of today's talk. She says any conversation about natural gas development or the use of any natural resource should be done in a reasonable manner, rising above bumper sticker ideology.
Yes, indeed. We have a giant history of extractive industry in the West, and we have mixed outcomes. And some of them are open pit mines that will never be, the next million years. There may be some differences in that, but those are there for a long haul. And then other places that were very intensely changed by extractive industry are now considered beautiful places. People go to Aspen, which was an all-out mining town, and they do not go to Aspen in order to see the devastation of the earth. They go to take part in another form of disturbance of the earth. That the there's no clear cut like a ski slope, really. Places that went under very heavy extraction that are now considered very beautiful. Durango, Colorado had smelters and the vegetation around the smelters, the hillsides were bare, and now people are hoping that they can go vacation in Durango. And
the word you always hear with Durango now is charming.
And well, you might, because it is charming. And then in the airport, this is actually part of my remarks later, when I was flying here, in my speech, I have some reflections on Durango and its resilience and how beautiful it is now and what a, man, smelters just going and fumes I can't think what was happening to people's lungs at that time. So in the Denver airport, there's a beautiful photograph of Durango advertising Fort Lewis College, and it says liberal arts education, and the adjective they use is so comical in historical perspective. It says breathtaking liberal arts education, and you think, well, fortunately, we're talking in the light and merry form of breathtaking, but 100 years ago, 120 years ago, breathtaking, you bet, but in a really different way. So this concept of resilience is really an important thing. But also a really important question is how much disturbance of environments comes from things that look much more benign to us, that suburban sprawl, for instance. Well, not everyone finds that benign, but people who consider those suburbs to be their treasured homes, if a natural gas development is going in there, there's a real sense of, this is Eden, this is paradise, we can't have extraction, while the very lawn that the person is...
That's what I was going to say. I was just in Arizona, and I was going up and down streets, and there were these green lawns, and you're thinking in the desert, that doesn't happen naturally.
No, it does not happen, and actually one of the more comical aspects of Western history over time is that it's the interior West is not a particularly bright green place. Olive green, maybe, and yet that concept of the right landscape is a bright green landscape, that drove a lot of the settlement of the West. And cities like Denver within a decade and a half had turned into places with lawns and gardens and so on. But it's quite an imposition. And when you see something that is bright green in the interior west, you can be pretty sure that somebody built an infrastructure and moved water around, stored it, and supplied it in the summer and so on. So bright green is actually the color of disturbance.
We'll hear much more from our conversation with Patricia Limerick on a future edition of Ozarks at Large. Her talk today is at 4 in Giffel's Auditorium in Old Main on the University of Arkansas campus. The Hartman Hotz Lecture Series is sponsored by the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences and the University of Arkansas School of Law.
The defense argued that a former New York cop only fantasized about cooking and eating women. A federal jury disagreed. They convicted the so-called cannibal cop of conspiracy to kidnap and other charges. I'm Neil Conan. Where's the line between thought and deed? Plus, what to make of the latest threats from a nuclear North Korea? Next, Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation just ahead at 1 o'clock here on KUAF.